I am loving.
I am fabulous.
I am beautiful.
I am saved.
I am a victor.
I am faithful.
I am devout.
I am accepted.
I am a Christian. I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
I am MCC.
I am MCC.
And I am MCC.
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 Our gospel is taken from the gospel according to John chapter 9 verses 1 to 17.
As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet."
This Lenten lectionary reading that we have today cannot have come at the most necessary time, whether for good or for worse. Many preachers and philosophers, and indeed perhaps since the earliest time that humans have had conscious awareness of our lives and of our surroundings, have always wrestled about the reality of human suffering, pain, and death, as well as the reality of God. Does God cause pain and injury? If it is not God, maybe it's demons or demonic forces. Perhaps it's Satan or the devil himself that is afflicting me, that's making me suffer. These are questions that we have wrestled with since the earliest humans. In our gospel reading today, it is as if Jesus already settled the matter by saying what he just said. And indeed, some conservative Christians will argue to the same point, to the same theology. God causes pain. God allows suffering for God's own purpose and to reveal God's glory. It is God's will. Now, to some extent, it is okay to still believe in such an idea, that is only if you actually still live in a pre-modern, pre-science, pre-technology time and place. Meaning, if you still live in ancient times where there is no way to explain certain kinds of diseases, certain kinds of health conditions that have no explanation, like a plague or this pandemic that we are experiencing right now. But the thing is, we do have explanation now. We can explain these things scientifically, logically, and explaining such things scientifically does not necessarily cancel or reject God. But what it does is it forces us to wrestle in a new way, to think about in a different way about God and human suffering. It forces us to have a different and new way of thinking about the reality of sickness and its relationship with God. And the question is, do they even have a relationship? And if they do, in what way is God and human suffering or human sickness related? I, for one, can no longer accept a picture or an idea of a God in today's context of a God who directly or intentionally caused the coronavirus. Because God got pissed off for whatever reason or towards whoever specific person he got pissed off. And because of that, this God would arbitrarily release a plague that will infect and kill anyone, including innocent lives, innocent people, especially those who are already socially and economically vulnerable to this disease. I cannot imagine that God is someone who woke up one morning on the wrong side of the bed and then lashing out to innocent bystanders. I don't think that is an attribute of God. That is our attribute. That is our human behavior. Despite the human descriptions and attributes we have placed upon God for thousands of years, I don't think that God, in our understanding of today, acts in that way. In the intersection of faith and science, the only thing I can accept and admit as God's involvement is that God created and caused the universe and the formation of the earth. This creation and formation includes the necessary laws and processes of nature. Also, God caused the emergence of life and biodiversity through the long and diverse processes of biology and chemistry. Life emerged and progressed through the laws of evolution and natural selection. And unfortunately, even if we don't like it, included in this process of evolution and natural selection are the various kinds of bacteria, microbes, and viruses. Right now, scientists tell us that there are ancient viruses and microbes trapped deep within the ice of the Arctic. Viruses that are thousands and millions of years ago and can be reactivated should the ice melt. So part of this evolution and natural selection also are the different genetic and congenital diseases. And unfortunately, all of these viruses, bacteria, congenital disease, genetic disease are things that afflict human and animal life. So, admittedly, we can admit that in the very long and indirect process, God had a hand in all of this. Only because it is part of the bioecological nature of the world, the network of life. But similarly, because of the scientific explanation, similarly, this tells us, this explains to us, this proves that God, in our scientific understanding today, indeed does not have any direct, does not directly cause plagues, epidemics, and pandemics simply because God got pissed off for whatever reason or whoever. Certainly, God has not directly and decidedly caused or intended this COVID-19 health crisis that we are all experiencing and even any other similar plagues in the past. So how should we take this statement of Jesus in the Gospel of John? Paano natin tatanggapin itong naging statement ni Jesus sa John? For one, it is comforting. The first thing that we notice is that it is very comforting to know that Jesus, according to the author of John's Gospel, tells us that sickness is not brought about by personal sins of either the main person, the person who is sick, nor of those of his parents. Meaning, hindi na ipapasa ng magulang ang kasalanan at ang penalty ng kasalanan. So Jesus has been very clear. Jesus has been very clear that the sickness, the blind, the man being born blind was not because he was sinful, nor is it because of the sin of the parents. Now, if we are to ask Jesus, kung tayo mismo tatanungin natin si Jesus, Jesus, bro, who is to blame? Sino bang dapat sisihin dito sa COVID-19? Dapat ba namin sisihin ang China because China is a communist, atheist country? It is a sinful country? Or is it because lahat kami makasalanan individually and accumulatively? In the same way that we ask Jesus, I can hear Jesus speaking in today's context, kung si Jesus ay sasagutin tayo sa panahon ngayon, kung nandito siya at sasagutin tayo sa ating katanungan, sino ba dapat sisihin, ito maarahil ang kanyang sasabihin. No, the illness or the virus is not caused by China being communist atheist. Neither is it because of the Chinese people. It is not a Chinese virus. This is also not because of individual sins. Because good people, mga mabubuting tao, including Christians, got infected and died. The virus infects and kills regardless of race, religion, ethnicity, sex, gender, and sexuality. No, hindi ito dahil sa mga bagay na iyon. The virus is just a virus. But because this is happening and the virus is spreading, especially amongst the most vulnerable and the poor, the real question is, at ito ay ibabato, ang tanong ay ibabato pabalik sa atin ni Jesus, what do you plan to do about it? As a people, how are you to show and embody God's healing presence in these challenging times? How can God's glory, even if it is not the cause of the virus, how can God's glory be revealed in this health crisis through each and every one of you, individually and collectively? Yun ang tanong. Yun ang itatanong ni Jesus. Yun ang magiging sagot niya. Tinanong natin siya, tanong din ang ibabalik niya sa atin. And so like Jesus who saw the blind man and countless other sick and afflicted people, the question is, do we also see and hear those who are most vulnerable during this health crisis and this quarantine period? Or are we deaf and blind because of our privilege or because of the power that some of us have? Now, the second part of the story, of this story, talks to us or tells us about the leaders of the people. It talks about the religious and political leaders. Now, one thing that we have to understand about politics in ancient times is that religious leaders and political leaders are almost the same. There is very little distinction between religion and politics in ancient times. In the Jewish context, the high priest and their council during Jesus' times were both religious and political leaders. There was almost no distinction. Even the emperor of Rome was both a political leader and also the primary religious leader and mediator of the Roman Empire between the Roman Empire and the gods. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are not just two religious groups. They can also be considered as two political parties during that time. And so the religious leaders, knowing and having found out about the miraculous healing of Jesus, they interrogated the parent. They interrogated the man, the blind man that was healed by Jesus, and his parents. And when they could not debunk, when they could not destroy the veracity of the event of the miraculous healing, they then tried to smear. They tried to siraan yung credibilidad ni Jesus, no? And sabi nila, well, he cannot be from God because he does not follow the Sabbath law. Hindi siya pwedeng of God. Hindi siya pwedeng pinagpala ng Diyos. Hindi pwedeng ang Diyos ay nasa kanyang side because hindi siya sumusunod sa Sabbath. Ang Sabbath, isa sa pinaka-importanting batas sa batas ni Moises. But others among them, and indeed even the man that was born blind but got cured, argues that God does not perform such works of miracle or such works of power through a sinner. Therefore, Jesus, having performed such a miracle, is a prophet of God. Para sa kanila, para dun sa gumaling. And in the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, in the Synoptic Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, we hear a story where the disciples of Jesus plucked heads of grain, no? Kumuha sila ng mga butil ng, ewan ko ano ba ang grain, bigas or barley. So kumuha sila ng mga butil during Sabbath para makakain. And some of the Pharisees questioned Jesus. In the version of Luke and Mark, ang sabi nila, kasama si Jesus, why are you doing this, what is unlawful in the Sabbath? Sa version naman ni Matthew, tinanong nila si Jesus just on the matter of the disciples, bakit mo pinapayagan ang mga tagasunod mo? Why are you allowing your followers, your disciples, to do what is unlawful during the Sabbath? Then Jesus replies to them with a story about it. Jesus reminds them about the story of King David going to the holy place and taking the bread of the altar, the bread of the offered the sacred bread offering on the altar na sa batas nila ang pwede lang gumalaw, pwede lang kumain ay yung mga pare, the priest, the Levitical priest. But indeed, David took the bread and gave it to his men, and they ate the holy bread even when it is unlawful. This story of Jesus about the Sabbath and reminding the Pharisees about the story of David is found in Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 28, Matthew 12, verses 1 to 8, and Luke chapter 6, 1 to 5. And following this story, another story about the Sabbath, in the same Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, tells us of another healing when Jesus healed a man with withered hands. And he healed that man during a Sabbath. And Jesus, in the version of Luke and Mark, asked the Pharisees, tinanong niya yung mga Pharisees, is it lawful to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? Is it lawful to save life or to destroy life during the Sabbath? And it seems you can hear the sarcasm of Jesus in that question. Because it's actually not a question, right? It's not a question. Is it lawful to do good and to save life during Sabbath? And this story is found in the following story, Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 to 14, Mark chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, and Luke chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. And so, looking at this story in our gospel reading for today, we see that most of the leaders were more concerned to the adherence of the Sabbath law. It did not matter if the action was good or for emergency. Their interpretation and implementation of the law was not only rigid, but it was already burdensome, and to some extent it was already illogical. Now, do we mean to say that the Sabbath law was wrong in itself? Of course not. The Sabbath law is one of the earliest forms of advanced ethical principles relating to human labor and human rights. So the Sabbath law is good, it is okay. But how the leaders interpreted it, how the leaders implemented it over time became burdensome to the people, even to the point of oppression. In their implementation, instead of the law saving, nourishing, and honoring human lives as it originally intended, the implementation of the law became oppressive. The religious leaders who were implementing this law did not care that the man was born blind and suffered blindness since birth. They did not care if someone was hungry, if someone was dying of hunger. They did not care anything at all. Their main point, their main concern was to follow and to obey the implementation of the law. That was the most important thing for them. And we hear the wise voice of Jesus. And we hear the wise voice of Jesus telling them, the law was made for people and not the people for the law. And so our hope and prayer that in the implementation of the laws, rules, regulations, and policies, especially during this crisis, this health crisis, that they are indeed to save and honor all lives and not just for the few, the wealthy, and the able. That the implementation of the law is indeed for the good of all, including those who are hungry, the sick, and the homeless. And like Jesus, if such implementation of the law is not for everyone's good, then it is our duty to question and to challenge the leaders who insist on their unjust and anti-poor policies. As we face this health crisis of COVID-19 with all the circumstances surrounding it, the gospel story today challenges us to let the glory and presence of God shine by responding and acting the way Jesus did. We are asked, how can we respond with open eyes, with open ears, and open hands to those who do not have the means to protect themselves and those who do not have the resources to stay home for 30 days? Now, some have already done certain responses given their situation, resources, and network. I saw a couple of restaurants. May nakita kong in Facebook some restaurants who prepared meals for the frontline medical staff in one or two hospitals. May nakita rin ako na isa sa balita na isang babae, bata-batang babae namimigay ng maliliit na bote ng alcohol bago pa nangyari yung lockdown, no? And then some or many celebrities are doing their part, raising funds and volunteering for particularly intended for those who are economically challenged because of this quarantine. I even saw, na siguro nakita din ninyo yon, yung isang LGBT organization who have the skills and some of the supplies na nananahi sila, no? Nananahi ng face mask na gawa sa tela. And may mga nagtanong naman, nasaan daw ang simbahan? Caritas Manila and some of the bigger Roman Catholic parishes have mobilized their resources, their network of donors and volunteers to fill in the gaps for the relief operations within their areas, no? Kasi maski naman ang simbahan, they are also limited to, they are also affected and included in the lockdown. Now, on an individual and small level, I know it is very challenging to do something at this time. Not everyone has the same situation or resources, especially when the movement is difficult because of the lockdown, no? Mahirap. Paano ba ako mismo nagtatanong, paano ba kami makaka-contribute individually and as a church community, paano ba tayo makaka-contribute and participate when tayo din ay naka-lockdown? Tayo din ay sinasabihan na to stay at home. It's very hard to move as an individual or even as a small church community because of this quarantine. But we will see and we will try to contribute and to participate in whatever creative way we can with the resources that we have. Maybe not now, but certainly at some point we will individually and collectively try to help, try to do our part for the people that need some help because of this health crisis, this pandemic. Now, sufficient to say, in whatever situation or context we are, in times of suffering and pain, in times of a pandemic such as COVID-19, as followers of Jesus, the more important question is not whether God caused this suffering or not, because most likely, God did not. God did not. It is not God's will. It is not God's purpose. God did not wake up one morning, intentionally release this plague upon the earth. The more important question is whether we will take the side of those who are most vulnerable and economically challenged among us. Because when we take their side, when we show solidarity and empathy and understanding to those whose situation are different and more difficult than ours, then we are able to let the presence and glory of God shine. We are able to embody the presence and glory of God in our world today. Secondly, that we hold the law and our leaders who implement them accountable. We challenge them to ensure, to make sure that whatever they are doing, whatever they are implementing, it is for the common good and the welfare of all, para sa lahat, and not just for the privileged few. In the name of the Lord of Sabbath, may we do so now and always. Amen.